Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
They score! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
A right by Watt! Get out! Another right by Watt! Another right! Uppercut by Watt! A right by Watt! A right by Watt! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Welcome. Oh, boy, this is going to be a rough day for me. Welcome in and good morning. It's the Sports Flood. Oh, my God. It is the Sports Flood. Happy Saturday to you. It is the day that the great one above bestowed upon us. God gave us this day, really. Once he created college football, he knew what he was missing for the first few thousand years. Maybe even millions, depending on who you believe as far as the earth. But you know what he was missing? He was missing football until he got it for us. And now we got a full weekend of high school, college, and pro football for the first time. Was that since the beginning of January? That we actually had a Saturday-Sunday kind of thing, even a Monday, but we didn't have a Friday thing since December. So we're going on 9 months without a full weekend of high school, college, and pro football. Man, it's been too long. It's been too long. Lots to discuss on the program here today. You may think that the college football slate is sparse today, but you know what that means? That means you get more dedicated times to individual games. Won't be as much carpal tunnel on the old remote wrist this week because you will be all over the place not as often. You have a handful of interesting and intriguing games starting right at the noontime hour, so you're not going to want to miss those. You got some happening around the 2:30 spot, and then you got your nightcaps. So all in all, you still get to sit in front of the TV for hours upon hours, and you don't have to be worried about watching six different monitors to get all your football in. Because there was a point last Saturday where the end of LSU was running into the end of Texas A&M UCLA, which was running into the first half of Georgia North Carolina, which was getting right into the beginning of Alabama-USC, which then got its first quarter into the beginning of Auburn-Clemson. And it was just chaos trying to keep up with all that. It's going to be a little different this weekend. Things can get kind of wonky on weekends when we don't expect it. Zero matchups between two teams that are ranked for the first time since 2008. Yikes. But does not mean that their upsets are not to be found. I'll tell you the one you should expect coming up in just a few minutes. Plus, lots more, including, man, Trey Mason, another arrest warrant issued for this young man. The spiraling story of Trey Mason just turns more and more into a tragedy each time we go and look at his name. Every time you type in the words T-R-E-M-A-S-O-N, there's one extra story to be added to this kid's tale. Man, oh man, is that disappointing. Really for anybody to have to deal with issues like this. And we all know people like this who just get into trouble, but maybe not this kind of trouble. Maybe not to where there is something medically possibly wrong with Mr. Mason. We'll talk about what he is in trouble for again this time. We'll also talk about the mayor of Seattle canceling a team rally over an expected anthem protest. Opening weekend, 9/11. On Sunday, the 15th anniversary, and the mayor of Seattle has decided he's not going to hold a rally because of this. Actually, it's the mayor of DuPont, Washington. You'll want to hear what he has to say and what the expected protest was going to be by the team itself. And Charleston Southern is taking on Florida State today, and they're suspending about 92% of their team. But they're doing it in a weird way. We'll talk about that coming up as well. Your phone calls are welcomed, 866-485-9867. Your texts to the show are welcome as well, 910-663-5663. And you can tweet at the program as always. The Sports Flood is how you can follow and find on the Twitter. You can also tweet at myself at ARKYSHEA. That's French for Arkishay. And the man doing all the damage today is Captain Boomer Sooner himself. He is Antonio McBeath. Antonio, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Arky. Thank you for noticing, by the way.
It's hard not to notice. When you have the, what do you guys, crimson? You guys aren't maroon.
No, this is an alternate jersey.
No, but it's an alternate jersey, but it's still the same colors as Oklahoma is.
In some parts. The sleeves,
the
obviously
part,
not.
I'm looking at the weird sleeve design. That's, I don't know what Nike does. I don't enjoy that. What are you guys? You guys are crimson, right?
Yeah.
Crimson and eggshell. Is that what you guys are? What the inside of my bathroom walls are?
Arky, I'm a man. Red and white is what it looks like to me.
Red and white indeed is what it is. Although people will tell you that there are very strong differences between Auburn orange and Clemson orange and Florida orange.
There's an exception with orange. Tennessee, Texas orange, everybody hates a specific shade of orange, and I'm one of them.
Well, I just feel like Clemson and Auburn are pretty close to the same orange. But that's not what you should say, though. That's not what you should say. Antonio is on Twitter at Mr. M.R. McBeath. M-C-B-E-A-T-H.
M-A-C.
M-A-C. Sorry, M-A-C. M-R. M-A-C. McBeath.
It's pronounced Macbeth, everybody. But for the sake of finding me on Twitter, yeah, McBeath. That's fine.
I think your new slogan should be, "Where's the beef, McBeef?" Ladies and gentlemen, where's the beef, McBeef? Big beef. We're going to come up with a segment about that. What's your beef? What's your beef, McBeef? You know what? I think I just came up with a brilliant idea. Write that down on a piece of paper, crumble it up, throw it at me. That's where I want that idea. It's going to be a fantastic show for you today because it is college football Saturday. It's a normal Saturday. And by normal, I mean there's not a game happening in the third quarter right now when I come to you. It's a normal Saturday where we get to get geared up. We get to get a couple of things done at the house. And then, boom, at 11 a.m., we can watch Michigan Central Florida. Or we can watch Pittsburgh take on Penn State. That one I actually may want to watch. Pittsburgh is so angry, by the way, that this is apparently a rivalry again, that the head coach has decided to shut practice down the entire week for everybody. You don't even get a chance to look at the stretching happening, afraid you may tip off the Penn Staters. So that is some of your early action for today. Last night was a fun night. Anybody out there watching football last night?
I was actually at the same game you were last night.
That was a good game, too. That was a good game, too. Excuse me. I'm fighting an illness for the last 4 days. Lamar Jackson. He is for real. He never meant to make your daughter cry. He apologized 100 times. Lamar Jackson may be the most exciting player to watch in football this year. Because he is going to go up against two really great things for him. One, he's really darn good. And let's not forget, it was about a year ago today that he was opening up against the Auburn Tigers at the very first play and throwing an interception. And then Bobby Petrino said, enough of that. Enough of that. We're taking a guy out. But he has matured late last year, and he's become a dynamic weapon for Louisville. So the first thing he's got going for him is he's really good. The second thing he's got going for him is that his schedule, he'll be able to put up a lot of numbers against some teams coming up in the 2016 season. I'm not giving him the Heisman Trophy quite yet, but when you have the type of night that Lamar Jackson had with Louisville, when you go into the Carrier Dome and you have to battle the Syracuse Orange and you put up 5 touchdowns in the first half, nay, the first quarter, I think I should start paying attention.
I think he had 3 touchdowns in like the first 5 minutes of the football game.
Unbelievable. This isn't Lamar, although it could have been, for all intents and purposes in that game. No, this was technically a league game. Technically one that counts. And I am so impressed watching his maturation. And take a gander at some of the quarterbacks that are going to be in the ACC this year. Let's talk about first the SEC. Let's see. Chad Kelly.
Auburn has 3.
Sure. Pick anyone you want at Auburn. Chad Kelly.
Isn't there this freshman guy at Alabama?
Well, he's Jalen Hurts. I mean, he could be something. But he's had a game and a couple of wide open passes that got most of his yard by, I think, 70% of his yards. Excuse me. Let's see. Brandon Harris there. Not going to be on the list anymore. Maybe Luke Del Rio becomes a guy. It's 29-44 last week against arguably the worst team in the country in a 17-point victory that they had to get late. Okay, so maybe he's not elite. Josh Dobbs is struggling. Maybe he lives up to it. So, yeah, I don't know where the quarterbacks are at in the SEC. Maybe they are still in the South. They're in the ACC. Lamar Jackson. Louisville's still the South, right? Louisville's still the South. DeAndre Francois looked amazing on Monday night. Brad Kaya. The Trubisky kid out of North Carolina looked really good. I mean, there are so many quarterbacks in the ACC that are looking really, really, really good early. And Brad Kaya, they call him the Messiah. And he's definitely going to have to be that guy if he's going to win things for Mark Richt at Miami early on. But how amazing is it to see that the quarterbacks are in the South, but they're in the ACC? I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling to me to see that they're not moving up to, you know, quarterback powerhouses. You know, they're not going to, you know, Boston College, you know, to become great or Penn State or Michigan necessarily. They're staying in the South, but they're Florida State. Deshaun Watson, obviously, at Clemson. Miami, North Carolina, Louisville now last night. I mean, he goes for 411 passing yards, 199 rushing.
You know, something he really reminds me of, you mentioned that you're not going to give him the Heisman just yet, and obviously not. It's September. And you hear a lot of people say, you know, how many people have won the Heisman in September? And it can't really say many, but there is one guy that comes to mind because he had an incredible September, but had a good game to finish the season that essentially won him the Heisman, and that was Robert Griffin III, RG3 for everybody who obviously should know that.
I prefer RG3, thank you.
But Lamar Jackson, he's putting on a show just like RG3 did. I think through his first three games, RG3 had 12 touchdowns and like 11 incompletions, and that was a big stat for everybody. Well, Lamar Jackson's putting up these amazing numbers. He gets to play Florida State at home at 11 a.m. next Saturday, but he also finishes the season with Houston. A huge game that everybody's going to have their eye on. So if he shows up the rest of the season and shows up in that game, he's in the conversation.
There will be opportunities for Lamar Jackson to put up a lot of numbers. And here's the thing with playing well in September. Kenny Hill played well in September. I think he's on a completely different team. Almost as everybody, the quarterback that was on Texas A&M at the time then. Leonard Fournette played well in September last year. And he played well all year. Except for one big marquee game where he did not do so hot. There are a couple of big games on their schedule that they'll have. They have Florida State. They have Clemson coming up. That's two of their next three games. And as you mentioned, they have Houston at the end of the near the end of the year. So you have Florida State next week. Big stage for Lamar Jackson. He can lose that game, obviously, and win the Heisman. He just needs to be decent numbers. He can't get crushed.
You mentioned Kenny Hill. As long as he doesn't pull a Kenny Hill in those three meaningful games, he should be okay. You're right. Kenny Hill had a great first two games in his Texas A&M debut, but his next three games were three straight losses, and he was average at best. So as long as Lamar Jackson doesn't do that, you're right. He has a chance.
They'll head to Marshall. Then they'll have Clemson on the road. That's back-to-back road games. And then they'll have Duke, North Carolina State, Virginia, Boston College, and Wake. That's a stretch that if they do lose two conference games, he can find his way back in if he looks good to a Heisman discussion. I picked Louisville to not only win the ACC, but to be in the College Football Four to start the season. Lamar Jackson is making me feel good about that pick early on. Now, I get it. It's Charlotte and Syracuse. I'm gonna calm down just a touch before I get overly excited. But those first two games don't make me feel less confident. 132 points scored. 132 points scored. That's a lot of points. That's a lot of points. That makes me yummy inside. That makes me feel good about stuff. Well, Lamar Jackson, you have yourself a game, young man. Congratulations to him. I want to say congratulations because it makes me feel good. By the way, the people who picked him for the Cube Show Fantasy Football Challenge, you got to be feeling pretty good about where they're at right now. Different story, as they now have 8 days before they play the Florida State Seminoles. Well, I guess it's 7 from today, but 8 from when they last played. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. Charleston Southern is suspending just about everybody on their team. Why? And why is this staggering system of suspension so weird? I'll tell you about it next. Sports. Back in live to the Cube Show. I'm dying over here, people. I'm dying. By the way, stay tuned around 10:30 this morning. Special surprise for those who are fans of the letters AA in a podcast. Just letting you know that there is a little something there to be had for you. So Charleston Southern is taking on the Florida State Seminoles today. And it's going to be quite the matchup of one team that's going to get their rear end handed to them and another team that's going to hand some rear ends to people. Charleston Southern is suspending 14 players today, but in all, over 30 players, 32, in fact, will have to serve a one-game suspension for taking NCAA financial aid and using it for things NCAA financial aid isn't used for. This from Ben G. Robinson, who is a tailback on the team. He puts a note on Facebook, which, by the way, if I was the coach, probably don't want this on Facebook. He says, so basically about 30-plus players on my team, including me, have been suspended for using book money to buy other things in the bookstore, like pencils, binders, and electronics, out of our school bookstore. By the way, I feel like it's a little redundant, but whatever. He could be a freshman. Who knows? We would have leftover book money, and the workers in the bookstore advised us to spend the money because we would not get it back, so we did. Now the school and NCAA are saying that it is against the rules, so we will have to pay a fine and sit out a game. By pay a fine, it means pay the money back. About 30 minutes before practice started, I was given the option of sitting out this week against FSU or next game against a conference opponent. 14 players decided to do this game. Charleston Southern self-reported to the NCAA this. 16 athletes were staggered over the first 2 weeks of the season, and two additional players will serve suspensions at a later date. They were continuing an internal review. This is a lot of bodies to be suspending for something that apparently was very confusing for people. When a third of your team does this, either you have some very ignorant players on your team, or maybe the people at the bookstore should be held accountable for telling them that, hey, sure, go buy other stuff. You ain't getting this money back, bro. It's so strange. Life is so strange sometimes. Because the NCAA loves to harp on all these rules, and they don't want extra money, and you know about all these stipend checks and refund checks and what you should be allowed to get and Pell Grant money and blah, blah. There's so many different sources to try to keep up with that a third of this team got suspended for something they thought they were doing okay.
Now, I love football, Arky, and as you know, I don't know everything. Not nobody does. So I'm not sure.
I know most of it, but not everything.
I'm not sure if this happens often or not, but how often do people get to pick the games they're suspended for?
Well, that's the second issue I was going to bring up.
Sorry for dropping the ball there.
To get the option from your coach to sit out for Florida State or for a conference opponent is really a no-win situation. First of all, I'm playing in Tallahassee. I know we may be able to – we may need to win our next game if we're Charleston Southern, and I know that may be more important than what's happening against Florida State because we're going to get our wheels blown off. I understand that to the 34th degree, all right? But I am beyond sure – that I'm not going to sit out for Florida State in favor of Monmouth. Okay? I know Monmouth is apparently a big deal, but you know what? You know what they have at the FCS? They have a playoff. Here's their remaining schedule. You tell me which game more important or more fun to play in than one Florida State. Monmouth, Coastal Carolina, Albany State, Presbyterian, Bucknell, Gardner-Webb, at Liberty. Flames are going to be hot. Kennesaw State. No way do I choose. No way do I choose Florida State to sit out as a player. Now, if I'm a guy that's not going to play anyway, maybe I need more reps and experience anyway. Maybe I choose Florida State. That way I have another week to be ready. But if I'm close to a starter, or if I am a starter, if I'm a regular rotation player, hell yeah, I'm playing at Florida State. Coach, you can sit me for Monmouth. We're going three straight road games. I'll go sit at Monmouth. Thank you.
I'll sit whatever game you want me to, as long as I can play the Presbyterian game. It just sounds like people have that game circled on their schedule.
I live for the battle of the Charleston Southerns and the, what are they, the Blue Hose, the Presbyterian? I think they're the Blue Hose. And that's not a Smurfs joke. I love the Blue Hose game. Jeez. By the way, why do you get to choose your suspension? Why is that even an option? You committed an NCAA infraction. Dang it. When do you want to sit? Never? Well, you got to sit one. Okay, well, I'll sit last week. You didn't play last week. There you go. There you go, coach. Done and done.
See, to me, I think when people when players do get suspended, the fact that they're suspended for the upcoming game makes it easier for them to track when players sit out. I mean, if a handful of guys choose to sit out this week and a handful choose to sit out down the road, I mean, wouldn't it just be easy to say, oh, yeah, no, I did sit out a couple weeks ago.
For and real, then- I did. Don't you remember? No, yeah, listen. I didn't even dress.
Well, I know the chance of winning for Charleston Southern is way lower than it was in the first place. I'm sure it was low anyway. But now, do you see it being name your score to zero?
No. It's not going to be name your score. They just played Monday night at Florida State. They're not going to name their score. I guess they will when they make it like 9 touchdowns. If they score instead of 9 points. Boy, Charleston Southern, are they going to be able to just, that's the thing. Will they score at all? 14 players suspended just for this game. And by the way, those 14 players better have been kids who are like red shirts and they weren't going to play anyway. Because if I'm playing, I'm telling you, I'm playing in Tallahassee.
They don't even have half a percent of a chance to win this game. I'm willing to bet down the road in November, Chattanooga will have at least that against Alabama.
Oh, Chattanooga. Oh, geez. God help all of you. Really, God help all of you if you get to choose your suspension. Come on, your suspension. Come on. Picking your suspension, people. 866-485-9867. That's just how they do it down in Charleston Southern. It's a gentleman's way of suspending people. You pick your poison. You take State or you take Monmouth. Ugh, ridiculous. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, sad story as another arrest warrant has been issued for one Trey Mason. The details on that coming up next right here on The Sports Flood. Back live to the studio. Before we get to Trey Mason, we got Big Orange Brian.
Big Orange Brian.
Big Orange Brian, what is up? Good morning.
Good morning. I got a couple of suggestions for those people that are being held out of the game.
Now, all right.
And some, it would be, if they weren't getting all that money for that game, it would probably be less embarrassing for them all to sit out at Florida State and they forfeit the game because they can't field a team.
that's true. Just say, you know what, we'll just take the cash and we'll stay home. Everybody gets to sit out. Everybody sat out.
And the other thing would be some of these in mid-sized and small colleges, they have players who play in multiple sports. Can you go tell the coach, hey, I'll sit out a basketball game this fall?
That's what I would do. Usually football maybe get like some track and field. But, yeah, I'll sit out the track first meet of the season. You just let me play against Florida State. I like that idea, Brian. Good idea, man.
Y'all have a great day.
Bye. You too. Big Orange Brian, appreciate that call. You can call in too, 866-485-9867. Just weird you can choose your own suspension. Just weird that that's an option. I think if these were back-to-back conference games, that wouldn't be the choice. But one of them is supposed to be a railroading, so it's going to be what I would call a actually, it really is like a Sophie's choice. There's no win situation here. You don't get to play. But how does a third of your team get in trouble? Like, I understand if, like, 5 or 6 players do it. But if a third of your team does it, doesn't that then not be a part of, you know, individual player doing something wrong? Isn't that part of maybe a system did something wrong? Like, I don't know, the bookstore constantly telling your entire football team, hey, you can do this? Like, what's the number you would have to get to for it to no longer to be individual players' fault? I think 32 is a good number to get at.
That's just a weird...
I think it's a little unfair to the players at this point. I really do.
I think so, too. It's a weird situation. I'm sure some of them, they mentioned that they use the money for, like, electronics and stuff, but also things other than books, like pencils and school supplies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to give them that.
That's a great
they're,
area.
They're getting headphones and stuff if they're getting extra money at the bookstore, trust me. They're not going just for pencils. Maybe some really cool pencils. The pens where if it's got the little Hawaiian lady there in it, and if you flip it upside down, her dress falls off. You know, that way you can watch that in the dorm room. Like, hey, look at that. That's cool. But they're not just doing the normal, you know, big pens out there. They're going to be doing something a little different. I'm not giving these guys credit for going for the number 2 pencils and saying, I must get my Scantron sheets ready. Because for some reason, I have to purchase Scantron sheets for a test. Another one of the dumbest scams ever. And those blue books you have to buy for essay tests? Why do you have to buy them? Like, I'd get by my own, just bring my own paper and pens and pencils, but if I have a specific way you're requiring me to take a test, you need to supply that. I don't know why I'm so angry. Doesn't make sense to me.
How long have you been out of school now?
It's been a while. It's been a while. I'm going on like 6 years since I've been out of school. And it really should be like 9 years that I should have been out of school. Anyway, sad news as there is another legal issue for former Auburn standout Trey Mason. A judge has issued an arrest warrant for Trey Mason after he failed to appear in court in Florida on Wednesday. You may remember this stems from an issue when he was ticketed for driving with a suspended license on August the 13th in Palm Beach, Florida. A Broward County judge has also issued an arrest warrant for Mason, or had issued an arrest warrant for Mason on April the 11th when no one appeared at the arraignment after his March the 5th arrest during a traffic stop in Hollywood, Florida. This guy's got two arrest warrants? Later that week, his attorney told the court that the date of the hearing had been sent to an old address of Mason's, and he didn't know about the required appearance. The arrest warrant was withdrawn after, apparently, that's a good excuse. Boy, this is getting sad. This is getting really, really sad. I think it's already been sad. I think it gets to get sadder and deeper and darker. I mean, the Los Angeles Rams are playing Monday night. And the Rams head coach has not been able to reach and did touch with Trey Mason since January. And obviously he's alive somewhere. We've seen him riding his ATV. He is still technically on the team, by the way. He is on the reserve, did not report list. Oh, my God. This is getting scary. Like, scary for the young men's health and well-being. You know, we saw the TMZ video, and I think a lot of you did, where his mom is talking to police officers who saw him in the ATV just going through a park. They follow him to his house, and the officers did not want to give him a ticket, but they finally did. And he said, just show up to this court date. And he said, I'm not going to do it. Well, he didn't. Well, he kept his word. And his mom said to the police officers, football has basically destroyed him. Football has basically turned him into basically someone with the mental capacity of a 10-year-old. He's 22 years old, the quote is, in a 10-year-old mindset right now. Really, really, really sad what's happening to Trey Mason. And I don't know how much of this is Trey Mason also just not wanting to go play football. Because he's 22. I remember being 22, and granted, I didn't have any concussion issues like this that could be the issue, according to his mother. But I remember being 22, and there would be times I would just not do stuff and hope it would just go away. And usually that wasn't the case. So I don't know how much of that is just him just hoping things will just go away, but they're not, because he's in the public eye. He's in the public eye for a lot of wrong reasons. I really hope something good happens for him. If nothing else, he just gets a little bit of help. Because Trey Mason is a guy that needs the help right now. You know, we talked about Johnny Manziel and how he just needs help. There are certain players that get themselves in so much trouble that they need help. And it's not necessarily their trouble because of their own doing. Sometimes it's trouble that they can't control. Johnny Manziel, I fully believe, can't control most of the trouble he's getting into because he's an addict. Trey Mason, I believe he can't control a lot of what he's doing because I think he's sick. And you can't get better if you don't treat the actual disease that's happening inside of you. So, geez. Really, really hope for his recovery. Because my wife loves Trey Mason. My wife, first season of watching football, watched Trey Mason play. and she thinks he was just the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he had a great season in 2013. Ended up being just otherworldly at times for that Auburn offense. And then he decides to go pro and has a decent year one, and then all of a sudden it's just off the reservation. Just off the reservation. Do not know what to even make of him. And if you can't get in touch with him, and Jeff Fisher has said they've gotten in touch with the family, but if you can't get in touch with him, how can you help him? And maybe he's also one of these guys that does not want help. Because you saw when the police came to the door in that TMZ video, when the police came to the door, the dash cam video, they said, he basically said, not interested in talking to anybody. Did not want to come to the door with the police. I mean, he just doesn't seem like a guy that wants much help, needs much help, at least in his mind. And if you don't get it, you're going to be stuck in this kind of situation, which he obviously doesn't see as a problem right now.
So you said he had a really good – he had a decent year one in the NFL. And then after that, he kind of went off the reservation.
Decent for a back is not expected to do that much.
So basically what you're saying is this is Todd Gurley's fault.
Oh, was that unclear? It's just completely Todd Gurley's fault.
Coming in and having a fantastic season, Trey Mason just, he lost it.
Well, listen, I feel bad for Trey Mason and his NFL career. And that's obviously not the thing that we're supposed to be worried about the most. But, you know, it is kind of the thing that he, you know, went to the NFL for, you know? I mean, he... 75 carries in his career, 207 yards, a touchdown, a little under 3 yards a carry. It's decent. He's 23 years old now. Decent. I mean, he's not going to be, was never going to be a feature back who's going to be that good, but make a decent little living for himself. Unfortunate to see what has happened to Trey Mason, so wish the best for him because, man, it does not get any easier for him, and his football career looks like it's done. And that may be the best thing to happen to him right now. 866-485-9867, 866-485-WUMP at Arkishay, at Mr. Mac, M-A-C, Beath, B-A-T-H, is how you follow Mr. Antonio, and at the Sports Flood. Coming up, a mayor in Washington is canceling his rally because, well, Seattle may be doing a little something on Sunday. That's coming up next. Saturday. College football is abound, but first let's talk a little NFL action. As in DuPont, Washington, the mayor announced Friday he is indefinitely postponing a city-sponsored Seahawks rally due to the expected demonstration by the Seattle Seahawks team. Doug Baldwin and Greg Beret, Nate Boyer, both tweeted, Doug Baldwin and Nate Boyer, who is a Green Beret, both tweeted Thursday the team would conduct a pregame demonstration, but did not say specifically what it would be. Baldwin tweeted, and this is the exact tweet from Doug Baldwin, who is, again, on the Seattle Seahawks, at Doug Baldwin JR tweets, "To express a desire to bring people together, our team will honor the country and flag in a pregame demonstration of unity." Former Seahawk and Green Beret, Nate Boyer says, "Talk to the Seahawks. What the team will do is a powerful sign of unification, plus respect for the anthem, plus those that fight for our freedom." The demonstration comes, as we've known, many different athletes, including Colin Kaepernick, and, of course, that soccer lady, Rapinoe? I can never pronounce her name right. Expressed desire to take a knee during the national anthem, as did Brandon Marshall, linebacker for the Denver Broncos on Thursday night. It has triggered some public outrage because DuPont's Mayor Mike Kortz is also a retired Army colonel who served at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. And he's questioning whether or not the city will sponsor an event with the looming possibility of a protest against the flag. He says, quote, "I was at the Pentagon on 9/11, so that's very dear to me. I have seen flags draped lovingly on the coffins of my fallen comrades, and I have placed a folded flag in the hands of a widow. That's important to me. That's the very best we can offer. That's the highest honor we have. So, yes, it offends me greatly. And I know it offends a lot of members of my community greatly," said Kortz. Are we missing something here? Are we missing something that there is no way in HE double hockey sticks that this is actually going to be a protest on Sunday? There's no way this is a protest. Not because it's September the 11th, because it's the entire team. And a former Green Beret and a teammate is also in on this. You think the entire team's going to protest the flag and the national anthem on September the 11th? No way. No way does that happen. The tweet says, "To express the desire to bring people together, our team will honor the country and flag in a pregame demonstration of unity." That felt like it was going to be pretty obvious to me that it's going to be something positive, especially when you mention the entire team is going to do it. Nate Boyer said, "Talk to the Ed Seahawks." He etted them. He mentioned them. "What the team do is powerful sign of unification, plus respect for the anthem, plus those that fight for our freedom." This is only going to be a positive demonstration. Seattle's going to have the best demonstration, are they not? Is Seattle not going to have the best demonstration of week one of 9/11 of this tremendous day? The entire team is going to be doing it. It's unbelievable to me. Now, maybe the Jets game will have a little difference since it's going to be in New York and they're actually going to be home because the Cowboys are hosting the Giants Sunday afternoon. And Washington is at home as well against Pittsburgh Monday night. But if the entire team is planning something, you can't think that the entire team, an entire NFL franchise, is going to be taking a knee or protesting the flag on that day. At best, it happens October 31st. I'm not even sure if they play there. It's just a Halloween day. That's all I know. At best, that's when that's going to happen. Why would you cancel? What? That? This is the epitome of cluelessness. Because he heard demonstration. He said, "Nope, call it off. We're not doing it. I'm the mayor, and I can't have my city desecrated like this." This is clearly going to be a show of unity and a sign of, as Baldwin's former teammates, Nate Boyer says, a sign of unification and plus respect for the anthem. You think he's referencing kneeling for the anthem as respect for the anthem? I would doubt that. Do you think he's referencing kneeling for the anthem as a sign of respect to those that fight for the freedom? I doubt that's what he's referencing. Do you think he means kneeling is a powerful sign of unification? Maybe among just the teammates. Read the entire tweet before you make a decision, Mr. Mayor. This guy's no better than Mayor McCheese, really. That's all this guy is. All he did was react just like we all react immediately when we hear the word demonstration and flag now. We think demonstration can only be a sign of disrespect. Demonstration can only be a sign of us saying, screw that flag. Screw that anthem. We're demonstrating against it. As opposed to what will be a very somber and poignant day for a lot of people especially early morning leading up to. Watch all your pregame coverage. CBS, Fox, whoever you watch. It's pretty much it. ESPN. NBC doesn't do anything till the night. Till the night. Watch all of your coverage. It's going to be a lot of 9/11 stuff. And rightfully so. But do you think honest to pieces, you reacted normally? And by the way, your rally doesn't involve the team. Your rally is getting a lot of people behind you and a lot of people showing up and saying, "Go Seahawks!" Please. Mayor of DuPont, Mr. McCourts, you've been fired. Pink slip in the mail. More Sports Flood next.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Yeah! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
All right, by one! Get out! Another right by one! Another right! Uppercut by one! All right by one! All right by one! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shay.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Back live here in studio, it is the Sports Flood. Happy Saturday to all of you. It is a beautiful day to be a part of the ship that is the Sports Flood, navigating your football and hope. Oh, my God, thank God we're done with baseball. We are never talking baseball again on the show. Not unless somebody kills a guy. Speaking of kill a guy, check out my Twitter. Jay Hawthorne last night of the Bob Jones Patriots, I think, killed a guy on a tackle. They got some of the game film of that, and they retweeted that that Jay Hawthorne found it from the film. I think he killed a guy for Sparkman. Holy cow. It was a hit. I hit, man, over the middle. Jay Hawthorne's a missile, man. Watch out for that guy. 43 for Bob Jones. He is, I don't like to use this term, and I used it last night because it kind of felt like it was appropriate. It's a pretty savage hit. It's pretty savage, just short of headhunting. That's how savage that hit was for Jay Hawthorne. So check that on my Twitter right now, at ArkyShay. We've talked about so far. Lamar Jackson, he is for real, looking good in the first couple of games. We've also talked about the college football slate being a little weak today, but that means you get more time for each game. We also talked about the Seattle Seahawks going to do a team demonstration, which apparently the mayor of DuPont, Washington, thinks that that is going to be a significant blow to the United States and to the flag, so we went ahead and canceled a rally in his fair city about that. So that leads us to the phone lines. We go now to where Danny T is waiting for us. Danny, always hating on Twitter. What's up, man?
You know I love you like my cowboy boots, brother.
Well, I appreciate it.
The reason that the mayor of DuPont canceled the rally was there was a rumor out, and I think that Fox Sports even mentioned it early in the week that the whole team was going to kneel. The whole Seahawks team was going to kneel.
He didn't announce that he was canceling the rally until yesterday. So if it was early in the week, he had enough time to go see the actual tweets, get the actual information. This guy is not working on information. This guy is working on, as you say, rumor that he may have heard early in the week.
Well, then you have to also look at it like this: that whole Seattle area is military, very strong, very concentrated, defense. You know, there's two bases up there, so that they're really trying, like everybody else, you know, to get ahead of offending anybody connected to the military, especially on 9/11.
Well, sure, but Nate Boyer, who had a brief tenure on the Seahawks last year, is a former Green Beret, and he tweeted out that he talked to the Seahawks and said that this demonstration is going to be a powerful sign of, quote, unification, plus respect for the anthem, plus those who fight for our freedom. How do you read that as a demonstration against the anthem?
But that was after the news leak. But that was after the news leak that they were all going to kneel.
Yeah. It wasn't news. It was rumor. This was on Thursday that he tweeted that. Thursday afternoon. Mayor didn't cancel cancel the rally until Friday.
Yeah. All I'm saying is this thing has really gotten out of hand. And, you know, I agree with you that it's taken us away from what the true conversation ought to be. And I haven't got time to go through my whole spiel with that right now. But I have to disagree with you that it was kind of warranted because, you know, the rumor earlier in the week was that they were all going to kneel. So.
Well, Danny, appreciate the phone call. It's just...
No problem, bro.
Thanks, man. I have to strongly disagree based on the facts. That it could have been a rumor early in the week. Thursday was tweeted by Nate Boyer that as a former Green Beret, I imagine he wouldn't have that much ill will towards the United States of America since, before preseason game last year, he ran out with the American flag. Feels like that guy's pretty much all in on America. And he talked to the Seahawks about what they're going to do, and apparently it's going to be a team-wide demonstration. Does anybody actually expect the team itself to take a knee during the anthem, the entire team, on September the 11th? No. No. And even if that was a rumor, FYI, Rumor Mills, you're a mayor of a city, not a major one, just one that apparently showed up in the news. You need to do a little more legwork. And if you cancel it on Friday, that's fine. This just can't be your reason. Ridiculous. You know what I hate about this country is what's happened over the last 3 years especially. We've become so, so splintered. And this is a good weekend to talk about this because, Antonio, how old were you in 2001? 28, 29?
When 9/11 happened, I was 9.
I was in high school, and I can remember skipping class that day because I did that a lot in my freshman year in high school. And I sat there, and I was on the internet, and I was on my main site, Yahoo, which tells you how great it's been for me then.
Shout out.
Using a dial-up modem. Shout out to the dial-up modem. And getting ready to play in the online chat game section where I would play pool, billiards. Done. And there was a story that came on that said a plane had hit the World Trade Center. So I went, turned around. The computer was in the same room as the TV, which was a little harder to do back then because you had big, giant desktops versus the TV. Turned around, turned on the news, and then saw the second plane hit. And then could not stop watching. I could not stop watching the coverage because it was nonstop from then on. And I do very vividly remember this country being all about that base for the next, feels like, at least a year that we were all about America, all about buying flags, all about being patriotic, all about being together for each other. You know, there are stories where people who were supposed to have flights had to drive across the country listening to the coverage and how much pride they had listening to everyone who were donating food and money and supplies and water to New York and Washington, D.C. area, and into Pennsylvania, sort of the memorials that were happening there. That there was so much goodwill built up that it's hard to imagine that we're technically the same country 15 years later. When every Facebook post on my timeline, every Twitter tweet, if it's not on a college football Saturday, which thank God football is back, because from February until like 2 weeks ago, it was 92%. I hate Hillary. I hate Trump. By the way, here's a way to make a really interesting dish. Here's an overhand video of it. Very quick. Very easy. Have you tried this nacho cheese dip? Oh, man. Very quick. Six simple steps. It was I did not know that we could splinter this quickly. And it feels like the spiral downwards has been happening. But you know how when you flush the toilet, there's like this, the water starts to spiral. It's slow at the top. And then when the water finally starts to get near the end of water at the bottom of the toilet, it starts getting really fast. Like it really just... That feels like what's happened the last couple of years. That we started to spiral probably shortly after invading Iraq. And I'm not trying to make this political. I'm just trying to figure out a timeline for this. We started to spiral because we started to figure out where the weapons of mass destruction, blah, blah, blah. Do we have the reason to evade? Is that even the right country that attacked us? Blah, blah, blah. Were we doing it for oil? Yeah. And then the last couple of years, once everybody starts getting on Facebook and starts getting on Twitter, you know, they start hating Obama for everything that Obama did and then saying Bush was actually a pretty decent president. And then people come back and say, no, Bush was terrible. All of this is for all of this stuff that Barack Obama's dealing with, it's all Bush's fault. But just yammering back and forth, screaming at each other. And then now all the hatred stuff about what Donald Trump is doing, building a wall, and his potential racism there, and what kind of idea that is, and sending Muslims back, and Hillary, and all Hillary is lying about emails. She's the reason people got killed in Benghazi. Have you seen the lesions on her tongue? She's definitely dying. She's got a catheter. What about that? Remember that head injury she had? Is she even fit? It's just nonstop negative vitriol, and that's the reason something like a Chewbacca mom can happen. You know, where you can actually try to get some positive news to feel good. It's a really stupid video. And it's no way in any shape or form should be what we're about. But every once in a while, you just need something good. Well, I think that's what the Seahawks are heading towards here. It's something good. Something really good. An entire team amidst all the, you know, racial unrest that may be felt by whomever for whatever reason, whether or not you think it's warranted that they feel that way or not. Some people feel that way. With the Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, Brandon Marshall, it seemed like the Seahawks were heading towards something really good here on Sunday. And why the mayor of DuPont had to come out and say, you know what, forget the rally, is beyond me. Now, I believe there will still be a couple of players that will take a knee. And I find this Sunday, above all of the Sundays, probably to be the most disrespectful to do that. But that's my personal opinion. Because if no other day, can we not have September the 11th to sort of be together and remember what this country stands for? Because it's 15 years ago that we were that close. It's 15 years ago. And if you go out and demonstrate on September the 11th, you're telling me that you're no different than someone that wants to divide us. Now, you'll get more headlines that day, and if you want to get people talking about you and that cause, or more so about you and how people will feel that is disrespectful, go ahead and do it. But honest to pieces, I'm telling you, this Sunday, above all other Sundays, is the day that if someone takes a knee, it will be the most, it will feel the most crushing to me. As someone who has a lot of faith in our American society. Because you can protest anytime you want. You can go to these communities. You can stay home and protest. You can do whatever you want. Can I have just one day where we remember that 15 years ago, despite the greatest attack that's happened in this country's history on this soil, that we were never more unified in recent history? I know in my lifetime, then on that one day, that not one of us had more of a common enemy and a common friend than the person who was standing next to us that day. That it did not matter who you were, as long as you were in my line of sight, as long as you were an American with me, or in my neighborhood that day, or in my country that day, I was proud to be alongside of you. Can I not just have that day? Even if it's just for nostalgia's sake at this point, 15 years later. This country's changed a lot in 15 years. It's changed a lot. And really is from a social dynamic standpoint that it is really how different the country is, left-leaning, right-leaning, whatever. There's just so much more ability to get your hate and vitriol out and your I hate this and I hate that and blah, 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 scream, 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 shout, shout, shout. Let me just have one day where you go out, you play the game, you honor the flag. You know, I say this a lot about team prayers on football teams especially. You know, I'm not a particularly Christian man, and I don't get what the big deal is about saying the team prayer, about saying a team prayer or saying a prayer at a dinner table. But if I'm on the team and the whole team is doing it, or most of the team does it, do you know what I do? I just bow my head. I can think of Mario Kart for all I care. But I just bow my head for respect for the situation. You may hate what the anthem is standing for right now because of what Colin Kaepernick said, because of the oppression. Just bow your head and think of Nintendo 64. Think of PlayStation. Think of something else. It doesn't matter. You'll get to play for the next 3.5 hours. You can forget all about the anthem. Just leave it alone for once. You don't need to meddle right now. You know, I always bow my head, whether, you know, if I'm invited to a church or to a friend's home who happens to do prayer before dinner, or on a football field when I was playing, or soccer field, and somebody wanted to do sort of a prayer before the game to make sure everyone doesn't get hurt. Do I believe that helped? Doesn't matter. I'm not going to be a distraction just because the majority of people there want to see something that's harmless. It's harmless for people to want to do something like that. It's harmless for the national anthem to be played. Harmless. Absolutely harmless for you to stand there and bow your head or stare straight forward. Remember the last 90 seconds of game tape you need to watch. Get that much more jacked up. You need to demonstrate. At least done out on this day. 866-485-9867 is the phone number. 866-485-WUMP. The college football weekend is set for today. We got some interesting matchups early on in the morning, and the great thing is they're staggered. I'll tell you how you need to be watching them tonight and how I would be watching them if I weren't going to be on the road. That's coming up next. Sports Flood. So you say you have a pretty crappy weekend of games. Yeah, maybe. But that means you have interesting games that are spread out, which is more importantly, that you can actually dedicate more time on your boob tube towards. How should you do that? Well, let me tell you, it's pretty simple. At 11 a.m., there is no game you should watch above, and I mean this one, Penn State at Pittsburgh. Penn State at Pittsburgh is the game you should watch. If you happen to get a little bit of something you want to love, a little bit on Michigan, UCF, that's kind of fine. And Houston and Lamar play, that's just if you want to see if Houston will score 70. That's the only reason to watch that game. But you should pay attention to Penn State at Pittsburgh, a rivalry renewed at Heinz Field to this morning at 11. Then that'll lead you beautifully into the 2:30 game, and the 2:30 ESPN game is jack crap. So that's why you go to CBS and watch Kentucky, Florida, a conference matchup where Kentucky looks to win 30 in a row. Let's be fair. Florida did. Perhaps the worst team in college football by 17 points, thanks to fourth quarter pull away. So this game may be a little closer than what we're looking for, too. That is your 2:30 game. That is Vernon Gary, and that is, listen, we only get like 12 more of these Vernon Gary games. Soak it in.
Vernon Gary might be the only reason I watch this game. Florida very, very awful performance against UMass, and then Kentucky blew a 25-point lead. That both of them need to come out and show something in order for this to be interesting.
Remember that last year, based on these stupid TV rules, that Kentucky and Vanderbilt have to show up on CBS every 5 years, that we had to watch Georgia-Vanderbilt last year on CBS. So this is Kentucky's turn to get on CBS. But that you should definitely be paying attention to, Kentucky-Florida. And it's a conference matchup, and it's from Ben Hill Griffin. I'd much rather watch a game from the Swamp than I would like to watch it at, Commonwealth. That'll lead you beautifully into the late afternoon, early evening cap. Now, that game will probably end just before we get to the 6 p.m. kicks. That's why if you want to look for another game to treat yourself to, why not take a gander at Florida Atlantic at Miami. Miami now ranked, a 5 o'clock kick. Just give yourself a few minutes of Miami. See if you think they're going to be any good. Brad Kaya, the Messiah, quarterback you should be paying attention to, and watch just a few minutes of him, because FAU is not going to give them much of a struggle. But if you want to give them an early struggle, a chance to check out Brad Kaya trying to figure out the offense. Then we go to the 6 o'clock games, where actually you're going to have to make a little bit of a choice, but I'm going to make it for you. The option is between South Carolina and Mississippi State on ESPN2 and Arkansas at TCU on ESPN. Now, you may think this is an easy one because you go Arkansas, TCU. One of those four teams is ranked. I disagree. Mississippi State could be in a game that scores the least amount of points in college football history. This Mississippi State-South Carolina game may be 1-0, and I'm not sure how it's going to happen, but it's going to have to happen, because I believe if you block an extra point, which you'd have to score a touchdown, but I believe if you block one, return it, but then have a fumble and it's returned back the other way before it's scored, I believe it goes back as an original point. You know what I mean? So you kick the extra point like it did in Notre Dame and Texas. It's returned, but before being returned for a score, it'd be like a strip back when Alabama beat Miami in 92 and returned all the way back for a touchdown. I think that would count as one. I may be wrong on that. This could be a 1-0 game. This could be a miserable football game to watch. But that's the beauty of this. The beauty of this is sometimes train wrecks are worth watching. And sometimes watching people suffer on the field is worth watching. It wasn't so much in South Carolina and Vandy last week. It may be with South Carolina and Mississippi State this week. And there's also SEC ties with TCU, as they do happen to have a former SEC quarterback leading them in Kenny Hill. So you got all kinds of SEC to pay attention to at 6 o'clock. Now, the night stretch will lead you into the 7 o'clock game on ABC, which is by far and away to me the matchup, mostly because of the venue. That's Virginia Tech at Tennessee. Bristol Motor Speedway, you can apparently get tickets right now on StubHub for $185. Feels like it's not worth it. Feel like that would have to be in the game for $185 at this point to be able to watch it. So that is your 7 o'clock game. Gives you time to sort of stretch a little bit. And then at 9:30 on ESPN, Virginia at Oregon. You want to get a little Pac-12 after dark where you're getting Oregon against the Virginia team that sucked last week. And they got obviously a brand new head coach in Bronco Mendenhall, who sucked in his first game as a coach last week. So that's exactly how you should handle this. What does not look like it's going to be a fun Saturday, it's exactly how you should handle it. Now, if you're looking for a couple of games that could give you sort of upsets what you're looking for, it's probably Jack State at LSU at 6:30. If you want to just sort of tune in for a few minutes there, here or there, probably have to wait till the third quarter to see if it's really going to be an upset. If you want to make some Twitter jokes, some first quarter struggles will happen for LSU against Jack State, and we'll be able to make fun of that. At 6 o'clock, there's La Monroe at Oklahoma. Don't expect much of an upset there, but Oklahoma, are they going to have to come back the entire year for that? Wofford at Ole Miss, only because Cole Kublik's on the call for that. That is 3 o'clock on the SEC Network, so show Cole Kublik some love from Bott Hemingway Stadium, which, by the way, brand new. brand new bought Hemingway Stadium. And by brand new, I mean newly renovated bought Hemingway Stadium. So there's a little something to see with that. And that is all that's worth watching today.
I have a question about the Tennessee-Virginia Tech game, mainly about the venue. How many people are expected to show up now? Because it's gone up every time I've heard people talk about this football game. When it
150,000 seats, last time I heard, plus have been sold. Now, how many have been as in the last few days? I have not heard an updated number. But I think Bristol Motor Speedway can seat 160,000. Let me see.
That was the last number I had heard. But I originally heard back when they first started talking about the game this year, when it started coming up, people were like, yeah, probably about 115,000, 120,000 will show up. And then it got to 130 and then 160. And then, I mean, before kickoff, there might be 230,000 people there if this number keeps rising.
That's a safe number. 160,000 is the capacity for the race itself. Apparently, the configuration for the football field will work out to roughly 150,000 fans. So we're expecting it should be a sellout. As far as, again, we've seen sellouts not have all the bodies show up in the seats. But this is a game you show up to if you bought a ticket for. You're not going to get another NASCAR race football game.
This venue in this atmosphere deserves a good football game. I really hope it turns out to be not a really close game because it's sloppy and ugly. We deserve a good football game if 160,000 people are going to show up.
It's only going to break the record by like 35,000 people for most attendance ever. I don't think if it deserves a good football game. I think the venue just deserves to be seen by us to see if this is going to be something that's worth doing at another venue. Like this, it's hard to argue that 150,000 people won't be a success, and they try to make it bigger and bigger and bigger. But if it's going to be quality, I would love to hear people, and I can't wait to look at Twitter throughout the night for people who are at the game and sort of see how their experience is in the stands, because that's the only thing. From a TV standpoint, it's going to look great. It's going to look beautiful. We're going to say this is a huge success. But for the people who are in the game, people there watching it, you're really only going there just to be a part of that history.
What about the people in the booth that are maybe calling the game for TV or radio? I mean, it's got to be somewhat
like
of an adjustment.
Kirk Street, Chris Fowler, yeah. Bob Kessling and company.
It's got to be an adjustment for them. I mean,
oh, it's going to suck. It's going to suck a lot. That's where you rely on your spotters to sort of get the long-range binoculars out. Maybe get the new iPhone 7 so you can zoom in and not lose focus, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. This game should have happened 2 weeks later when the iPhone 7 was out so people could actually get decent photographs. Because all you're going to see is a lot of landscape shots tonight. A lot of landscape shots.
But if you're one of those people who like to listen to the game on the radio while you're at the game and you have an iPhone 7, you'd probably just want to bring your older iPhone so you can plug your headphones in.
Be fair. That'd be fair. 866-485-9867. Coming up, Antonio McBeef is going to take over. He's going to tell you all about the Boomer Sooners. He's going to spend the next half hour talking Sooners.
That's not what the next half hour is going to be about.
Oh, it's not. Okay, sound like it should have been.
I could talk 30 minutes about Oklahoma, but I'm not going to.
Well, it's La Monroe week, so no, let's not talk about that. Coming up next, Sports Flex.
Welcome back, Sports Flood fans. That's right. You might be wondering, wow, did Arky Shea get sexier? Did he get younger on the break? Well, no, he didn't. This is Tony Mack here filling in for Arky Shea this last half hour. He has a little bit of business he has to take care of. All right, everybody, we have 30 minutes before kickoff. Not a very good college football Saturday. But let's just be thankful college football's back, everybody. We had a great week last week. We have another really, really good week next week with a lot of big matchups that are a little more spread out, which is a great thing. But we do have to make it through this week first. But like I said, be thankful, because usually you get 3 weeks of college football, three or four non-conference weeks that are like this, that usually might have one top 25 matchup. But this week it doesn't, but it's only 1 week. It's only 1 week that we have to suffer through something like this. So that's not that bad. Now, Arky mentioned all the games that you should watch today. Please, please, unless you're a Mississippi State fan or a South Carolina fan, please don't watch that game. That's I mean, watch it turn out to be the most thrilling game on TV this weekend. I don't see that happening, but there are other good games you can tune into on that time that might be a little more entertaining. But let's talk about that Florida-Kentucky game. Arky made a good point. Florida's going for 30 straight wins over the University of Kentucky. Now, you might be thinking, oh, well, Florida's going to make it 30. They won last week. It was a very underwhelming performance against one of the, probably, like Arky said, one of the worst teams in college football. I think CBS had them ranked like 128 out of 128. They're bad. And I think it was 10-7 going into the fourth quarter. Florida pulled away. But that's something that Kentucky can look forward to. I mean, Florida last year had a decent season under McElwain's first year, but they were actually the same thing that they were when Muschamp was there his last year. Pretty good defense, but no offense. I don't know if Kentucky gives up 24 unanswered points, whatever it was, and allows Florida to come back and beat them. If Kentucky jumps on top of Florida early and scores more than 24 points, Kentucky ends that streak. It's over. Because Florida just doesn't have the offense. But at the same time, Kentucky's not that good either. So while Kentucky might end the streak, it might be an entertaining football game to watch. I'm not sure the quality of football. But rivalries do tend to bring out the best in teams. Even when teams are really bad, go back to Texas last year. Texas beat Oklahoma, controlled Oklahoma. So maybe Kentucky shows up, puts up a very good performance. We will see. That's probably the second most entertaining game as far as storyline goes. The first would definitely be Tennessee, Virginia Tech in the venue. But we'll get to that one in a second because I really want to talk about the game I'm looking forward to the most. I'm putting storylines to the side. The game that I think has the chance to be the best game of the day is going to be Arkansas coming to TCU. I know Arkansas won by 1 point last week to La Tech, I believe. Yeah, Austin Allen didn't look very good. He was 20 for 29, a good completion percentage, but two of those 9 incompletions were interceptions. He had a quarterback rating of 40, I think. So he obviously didn't look good, but there's a lot of room for improvement, and that's not bad because Oklahoma's defenses, or not Oklahoma, I'm sorry, the Big 12's defenses, Oklahoma obviously in the Big 12, but the Big 12's defenses typically allow a lot of yards. I mean, and that might give Austin Allen some confidence in this football game, and he can go out there and have a good game. I think he could. I think this game's closer than a lot of people think. I think TCU does pull it out maybe with a late field goal, but look who they have. They've got Kenny Hill. Kenny Hill didn't have a great performance last week by any stretch of the imagination. I believe he had a couple interceptions, and it doesn't really matter what he did last week because he played in the SEC for a season. I think he ended up getting pulled like 8 games into the year. But he came in his first 3 games minus the South Carolina. After the South Carolina game, he had a good game against what was an obviously overrated number 9 South Carolina team who went on to, I don't think they even finished 500. He had a great game against them, and then the next game against whatever FCS school. And then he got into the meat of their schedule in 3 conference games, and threw 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. He was average at best. We mentioned that earlier on the show. So against the SEC, he's not great. And we might be able to see that. The SEC typically brings some kind of toughness and edge to just about any non-conference game they play, usually. Now, that's usually. I know last week was different. Not a lot of people. We have to start getting adjusted to the fact that the SEC might have taken a step backwards. They're still the best conference in football until we're proven wrong, maybe in the playoff or in bowl season when big SEC teams are faced up against big teams through other conferences. We'll see then. But right now, they might have taken a step backwards, but I still think they're the best conference in football. And we'll get to see that cross-conference matchup tonight. I just don't know that Kenny Hill can do it. And then, obviously, the game everybody's looking forward to about around this area, other than Alabama, Western Kentucky, because we live right in the middle of Crimson Tide country. Tennessee at Bristol Stadium tonight. My goodness, this is going to be an awesome atmosphere. I'm really looking forward to it, and Arky disagreed, but I think that we deserve a good football game. This venue, this atmosphere deserves a good football game. If 160,000 people show up to this football game, I don't want a blowout. I want a good game. I think we might get a blowout because I think Tennessee, after that performance against Appalachian State, is going to come out and they're going to look good. I really believe that. You know, we've got Virginia Tech who just lost Frank Beamer. No more Beamer ball. No more Beamer ball at Virginia Tech. And I believe the guys only had one other head coaching job. It was at Memphis. And he was okay at Memphis. But your second game as head coach at Virginia Tech, you have to go and play in front of 160,000 fans, which I'm assuming the majority will be Tennessee fans. It's going to be tough. And Tennessee's probably going to be playing with an edge after almost losing to Appalachian State. They were a fumble recovery away from losing to Appalachian State. Jalen Hurd jumped on a fumble that saved that game. Now, I think Josh Dobbs comes out. I think he takes more shots downfield today. And I think he's successful doing it. I think Jalen Hurd's going to have another decent game. He really carries that team. I like his toughness, and I like his leadership. I mean, he's a guy that you want to rally around. Whenever your team makes mistakes like that fumble, he jumps on it right away. He's right in the middle of the action. That's what you want, and he's successful most of the time. So that's definitely what you want. Now, Virginia Tech, Tennessee fans, you might see Virginia Tech come out and throw the ball more than you saw Appalachian State throw the ball. Virginia Tech, they did play the Liberty Flames last week. They won 36-13, but Jerod Evans, their quarterback, 20 of 32, four touchdowns, had five carries, 46 yards. So probably a little bit better, not one-dimensional like Appalachian State was. Appalachian State threw the ball, I think, like maybe 25 times, 15 completions. It didn't seem like he threw the ball that much, because that run game was dominating Tennessee. Appalachian State's run game for the majority of that game looked pretty darn good. But you're going to get a little bit different of a look with Virginia Tech today. So if Tennessee can adjust, if their defense can adjust, which I know the defense can adjust because they adjusted to Appalachian State in the second half and shut them out. They didn't score in the second half or overtime. So I know the defense can adjust. If the offense can come out and put on a display and let their defense settle into a different kind of offense they'll see this week, I think Tennessee can pull away and blow these guys out and look like that team that they were ranked to be in the preseason. Now, everybody had them, or not everybody, but the media had them at number 9 in the preseason poll. I thought that was too high until they almost got beat by Appalachian State. When a team comes out on the biggest stage, first game of the college football season, and gets embarrassed, even though they won, they got embarrassed at home, That's going to wake them up. I have to believe that wakes them up. I have to believe it. I've seen it before in other teams. I want to say Tennessee's no different in those teams. I want to say that guaranteed them at least 8 or 9 wins, because I think they'll come out with a different edge and they understand that anybody can beat them at any Saturday. They you can't just show up and win on any level in college football anymore. So we will see tonight with Tennessee and Josh Dobbs. Alabama fans, get ready. Alabama's just going to absolutely take Western Kentucky to the woodshed tonight. And hopefully Auburn gets in the win column as well, SEC fans. But my goodness, 160,000 fans. We need a good game. All right, we got one more segment coming up, about 15 more minutes until kickoff, everybody. And then tomorrow, that's right, the NFL is back. We had a very, very good opening game Thursday. And hopefully we'll see more of that tomorrow. We might talk a little bit of NFL as well on this last segment. So just stay tuned. Sports Flip. Welcome back, Sports Flood. Final segment of the day. I'm going to start off by going to Twitter. We had Bobby Barnett, at BamaBob2014. He tweets, at Sports Flood, if Jack State even keeps it close, what are the odds of Miles looking for a new job Monday? Well, that is a game I didn't mention, and I probably should have. If your eyes aren't on this Jacksonville State game in Baton Rouge, then something's wrong. Jacksonville State took Auburn to overtime last year. A lot of people, myself included, believed that Jacksonville State probably should have won that football game. Competed very, very toughly against North Dakota State in their national championship last year and fell short in an offensive display. Carson Wentz put on a show. Yeah, absolutely keep your eye on this game. Jacksonville State knows how to move the football. LSU, other than Leonard Fournette, does not. My reply to you, I've already tweeted you back, but for everybody who doesn't see the tweet, yeah, maybe Brandon Harris will save him a spot in the unemployment line, because Brandon Harris's job is already, he's already on thin ice for that starting quarterback job. So, absolutely, Les Miles is looking for a job Monday if they lose to Jacksonville State. If they keep it close, you know, he's definitely, his hot seat just keeps getting hotter. But unless they slip up to Jacksonville State, Miles will probably coach the rest of the year, and then they'll let him go. All right, just a few minutes left before we go and let you guys enjoy this college football Saturday and the eve of 9/11 and a fantastic opening weekend of the NFL. Let's talk about the NFL. Patriots fans, my goodness, week one couldn't get any worse. You have to go to Arizona without Tom Brady already, without arguably the best quarterback of all time. If he's not your number one, at least he's number two. And now you have to do it without Rob Gronkowski, the Gronk. That hurts. This thumping might get even worse. Sure, New England's defense always gets overlooked because Tom Brady and Belichick and Gronk and everything they have on offense, but they're not awful. They're middle of the pack, maybe a little better. They're pretty good. They're going to get tired. They're going to get worn out. Because their offense, I don't think, is going to be able to move the ball very well, and Garoppolo will probably turn it over a couple times. So that hurts. We also have the Vikings decided to start Sean Hill going into Nashville, which I don't completely blame them. I'm an Oklahoma fan. I love Sam Bradford. I think he gets a bad rap. I understand he's suffered a lot of injuries in the NFL, but whenever he's healthy, he can play pretty well, and that playing pretty well has been behind pretty bad offensive lines. Whenever he gets things together, he might win the starting job once he understands the playbook a little better. But I can understand why Sean Hill would be the starter there. I still like Tennessee in Tennessee tomorrow afternoon in a close game. Adrian Peterson will get his, but I think that new-look Titans offense might be a little too much for Minnesota. So that'll be a good game to keep your eye on. But the game everybody has to watch, the 3:30 game, the New York Giants going to Jerry World. Now, that's going to be a good game. Dak Prescott taking the reins. Maybe for good. We don't know. It depends on how Tony Romo is coming back. So we'll see. But the Giants, I don't overlook the Giants now. The Dallas Cowboys defense didn't look impressive. I know it was preseason, but they didn't show much. And the Giants have a very, very talented receiving core. And, of course, Eli Manning can get it to them. I think the Giants are one good running back away, a good running back situation away from being a very, very unstoppable offense. I mean, you have Odell Beckham Jr., Victor Cruz might be back. If he's healthy enough to play at a good level, they'll be deadly, because then you have a rookie that is going to make a good impact. Sterling Shepard will bail you out of a lot of situations in the slot. So that's going to take a lot of pressure off of ODB. So don't sleep on the New York Giants. I am telling you, do not sleep on the New York Giants. Well, everybody, it has been a fantastic opportunity to be able to do these last 30 minutes. It's a little lonely, I'm not going to lie, without Arky. You guys have had the pleasure of having him as your host for quite some time. He's a very funny guy, very, very high energy. Obviously, I didn't bring that laughable energy in here. But you know what? I did something that we all wanted. I talked a lot of sports. A lot, because that's what this show's about. It's the sports flood. And we have sports coming up. Don't take that for granted. I know. I mentioned this when I first came on. But it's not the best weekend for college football. Just enjoy it. Enjoy it for tonight. Take it for what it is. It's football. So just take that and enjoy that until tomorrow, and then enjoy the NFL. And college football fans, strictly college football fans, if if you don't enjoy the NFL, please, please give it a chance. The NFL is going to put out some great games tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. And thank you very much for not turning the dial, those of you who didn't. You can always tweet me on Twitter, at Mr. Macbeth. That's M-R-M-A-C-B-E-A-T-H. Yes, it is spelled Macbeth. It is spelled a little differently. I'm not sorry. That's my name. I've had it for 24 years, and I plan on keeping it that way. Everybody, college football, NFL, it's back. Stay tuned. Sports Flood.